something about being thankful, sometimes they respond with, "What do I have to be thankful for?" And you've probably heard that before. Some people just look at life that way, of what do I have to be thankful for, and usually followed with a whole list of all of the things wrong with their life after that. And a lot of times when we're talking about things to be thankful for, the first thing that comes to mind is just the earthly wealth that we have, just the things that we have in life. And that seems to be where most people are dissatisfied with their lives, is in the things. But count your blessings. A lot of it is in the attitude. Because most Americans are actually wealthy if you compare them to the rest of the world. The median household income in the U.S. in 2009 was $50,221, or about $27,000 a person. In there. We don't all make that median income. And, maybe as an engineer I should explain a little bit about the term median. Median means half the people make more than that and half make less. So it puts you right in the middle. The average income in the world is $7,000 a year. So if that kind of puts it in perspective. But this is the arithmetic mean, they call it, where you add up all of them and divide by the number. If you look at the median income in the world, where half the people make more and half make less, it's $1,700 a year. So, whenever you look at your income in that way, all of a sudden, the amount that you earn means a whole lot more. But we tend to look at things that we don't have, instead of looking at things that we have. And as a result, sometimes we really don't appreciate the things that we have. And a lot of times we hear the term poor. I'm poor. I live in poverty, sometimes even. And whenever we hear the word poverty, what are the kind of things that come to mind whenever you say there are people living in poverty? Most of the time you'd think, people can't buy nutritious food, clothes, reasonable shelter. But of the people that the Census Bureau classifies as being poor today, there's only a very small percentage that actually fit that description. Whenever you look at people that are poor by American standards, they're actually pretty well off when you compare them not only just to other people in the world, but to Americans just a few generations ago. If you just compare to the way the average person lived 50 years ago, we actually come out pretty good, even for the people that are classified as poor in this country. For example, of the people classified as poor in our country, about almost half own their own homes. The house that they own is typically a three-bedroom house with 1.5 baths, a garage, a porch, or a patio. And 76% of poor households have air conditioning. 30 years ago, only 36% of the houses in the U.S. had air conditioning. So it's something that we take for granted. A lot of these things that we take for granted today were actually luxuries or didn't even exist. Just 30 years ago, 50 years ago, only 6% of poor households are overcrowded. More than two-thirds have two rooms per person in their house. The average poor American has more living space than the average individual living in Paris, Vienna, Athens, or other European cities. And this is compared to just the average person in those cities, not just the poor people. Three-quarters of poor households own a car. 30% have two or more cars of the poor people. 97% have a color television. Over half have two or more. 78% have some kind of a video player. 62% of the poor people have cable or satellite TV. 73% have microwaves. More than half have a stereo, and a third have an automatic dishwasher. So these are our poor people. in our country. And these are things that we look at and we say, well, those are just basic necessities. That's what we think of as that's just, you know, the kind of things that I'd like to have to live an average life. But those are things that the rest of the world, in many cases, they'd be amazed if they walked into a house of even some of our poorest members here in the congregation. If your ancestors from 50 years ago walked into your house today, for those of you that are considered poor, they would be amazed at the way your household functions and the way that the things that you just take for granted. So sometimes we think of, well, sometimes poor people don't eat very well. But actually the average consumption of proteins, vitamins, and minerals, it's about the same for poor and for middle class people in our country. And it's usually well above the recommended requirements for people. In fact, the poor people, the poor children today, grow up to be an average of an inch taller and about 10 pounds heavier than the GIs that stormed the beaches of Normandy. So the kids today are actually healthier than their ancestors as well, and they eat better. So the living conditions of the people that I've described don't necessarily represent everybody. So you say, well, you know, maybe I have some of those things, but I don't have all those things. You know, a quarter of poor households even have cell phones, answering machines, but there are a tenth that don't have a phone at all in their house. And a third of the people that are classified as poor, they do have some kind of overcrowding or some temporary hunger or some difficulty in getting medical care. So you might say, okay, the average person in the U.S. is doing well. Even most of the poor people in the U.S. are doing well by the standards of the world today and by the standards of their ancestors. But sometimes you say, well, I still fit into that low percentile. So what do I have to be thankful for? 1 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So we all have something. And you know, we have our friends and we have our family. Because money isn't everything. You know, there's not really a lot of correlation between happiness and how much money that you have. If you look at people on TV that make a lot of money, they're not problem-free. In fact, a lot of times you look at them and you say, wow, am I thankful our family's not like that. When you look at reality shows, sometimes people that make lots of money, you say, that is the most dysfunctional family that I've ever seen. And so, even though a lot of times we classify our success and the things we should be thankful for in terms of money, that's not really a very good measure of the kind of things that make us happy and make us content in this life. So even though we have a lot more than our ancestors did, and we have a lot more than the rest of the world has, does that really mean that Americans are any happier than other people as a whole? And sometimes if you travel to different places in the world, and you see people, and you see people doing without the things that we take for granted. We look at them and we feel bad for them, but then as you get to watching and you get to noticing, they're still happy. They're still happy people. And you say, well, they don't know what they're missing. Okay. Maybe we don't know what we're missing sometimes whenever we look at the way they live. And you say, how could anybody be happy under those conditions? And yet often they are. And sometimes it's because they don't look at what they don't have. They look at things they have. And they appreciate the things that they have. You know, no matter how bad you have it, there's always somebody that's worse off than you. And so if you compare your life to some other people's, it may be that you look and you say, I sure am glad I don't have their health problems. or I'm certainly glad that I don't have the problem that they have with their in-laws, or with the people their kids married, you know, or maybe I'm glad I don't have that problem that they have with their kids. You know, I'm glad my kids all mind and they're perfect. And no, that doesn't happen very often, but there's always things to be thankful for, because you're always better off than somebody else. And even if you don't have a lot of money, there's things that you can do to make your life a little bit more pleasant. And things that don't require a lot of money, but things that you can just do to enjoy the life that you have. Some people, you know, they say, if I had a lot of money, I'd go and I'd travel to Europe and I'd go to Asia and I'd see all these places. There's a lot of beautiful places that you can travel just in this area. That was one of the things that attracted us to this part of the country. Was we said, you know, just in a day trip, we can go to our nation's capital, we can go out west, we can see the mountains, we can go out and see the leaves turning out in western Virginia, we can go to the beach. There's museums, there's all kinds of things to do without even having to go and spend the night anywhere. We said we could spend the rest of our lives here, and we plan to do just that, and still be able to go and see new things and different things all the time. And this time of year, a lot of times we focus on, you know, if I had the money, I'd really like to get this for this person for Christmas. And there's always an expensive gift that would say, I wish I had the money, and I'd give this to them because that would make them happy. But, you know, things don't really make you that happy. If you think about the things you got for Christmas last year, to begin with, you probably have a hard time even naming what they were. And of those, how much do you really still use most of those gifts? If you can even remember what they are, you may not even have it anymore. It may have broken, or it may be something you threw in the drawer and you never look at again. That's a few rare gifts that we get that we keep on appreciating, even by the next Christmas, much less for years to come. But if you've ever gotten a gift that was handmade, that's a little bit more meaningful. A gift that you could tell that the person that gave it to you, that they actually meant something by it. You know, sometimes just going and buying an expensive item and giving it to somebody doesn't indicate that you've got love in your heart for them. But sometimes you get the gift that the person may not have spent any money on whatsoever, but it actually did come from the heart. And you realize that that person actually does care about you. So those are the kind of gifts that you can give if you don't have a lot of money to spend. Sometimes we look at other people's houses, and we go and we visit, and we say, wow, what a beautiful house they have. I wish I had the money for my house to look that nice, or to buy a nice new house. But there are a lot of things we can do to make our own houses a lot more pleasant. I'm always amazed whenever we go visit Emma at the things that she does with her apartment on no budget at all. You know, we go down and we say, oh, you got a coffee table there. Well, actually, no, I've got some plastic containers that I threw a picnic blanket over or something and made me a coffee table. Or, you know, there's just all kinds of things, that creative things that people do to make their homes comfortable and interesting that don't require a lot of money. One of the things that we can do that's actually meaningful this time of year is choose how we spend our time. We can not only choose to spend time with our family and with our friends, but we can choose to volunteer. There's just nothing more satisfying than going and helping people that are less fortunate than yourself at this time of year. If you're helping out at a homeless shelter, or serving food at a food bank, or if you're collecting food to donate to a food bank, that really makes an impression. Not only in the people's lives that you're helping, but it really helps you put your own life into perspective. And it helps you appreciate the things that you have. Whenever you go and you see the way that other people live, and sometimes at how happy they are, even though they don't have the things that you have. And it also makes a good impression on your children, if you have small children, if you take them to go and help and to choose to do something, some sort of community service at this time of year. It helps them to realize that this season's not all about just getting things or even just giving things, but it's about caring for people. So mostly, we can just spend time and enjoy the people that we have in our lives. And that's no matter how much money we have or how much money we don't have. We can always enjoy our family and friends. But occasionally you say, I don't have anybody in my life. Sometimes you find the people. You say, I don't have any money, and I don't have any close friends. My family all lives a long way away. There's nobody around. So what do I have to be thankful for? Sometimes that we're kind of at a loss for a minute. Okay, well, maybe your life is just bad. But it's not, because everybody has something that makes their life worthwhile. What we have is we have the love of Jesus Christ. And that's something that is available to everybody, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you have lots of friends or whether you have no friends, if you grew up in a warm, loving household or if you grew up in a dysfunctional household or one where there was abuse, no matter whether you, in your own family that you have now, if your spouse is abusive or if your children hate you, no matter what your situation, you always have the love of Christ. 1 John 4:10 says this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Ephesians 5:1 says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us, gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We always have that in our lives, and nobody can take that away from us. It's the kind of thing that we so often fail to appreciate. And that's why we just had this memorial feast of the Lord's Supper. Because that's something that we all have to be thankful for. That's why it says in remembrance of me, because we do tend to forget. And that's why we take the Lord's Supper every single week, is because otherwise we tend to forget. People throughout history, it's not just us, not just our generation. Some people think it's just us that have ADD and we tend to forget things a lot. But if you read in the Old Testament, they tended to forget God too. Just within a couple of generations after after Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, led them through the wilderness and took them the Ten Commandments and the Law of Moses from Mount Sinai, got water from the rock, fed them with manna in the desert, led them in and had them conquer the Promised Land. Just a few generations after that, the people were already forgetting. They were forgetting God. They were forgetting that He parted the Red Sea and let them escape from the Egyptian army. They had forgotten the way that He had fed them and cared for them and provided for them. And they were forgetting God. They were forgetting the part that He played in their lives. And whenever we have so much in our lives to be thankful for, sometimes we tend to forget that God is the one that provides it to us. We tend to forget the source of all the blessings that we have. So that's something else that we can be thankful for. Whether or not we have money, whether or not we have friends and family, we have God on our side, and we have Him protecting us, and we have His retirement plan to look forward to. So we have hope. And hope is something that many people in the world lack. That's sometimes why you see some people that are so miserable. It's because they don't have any hope. They see their life that they have. They don't have possessions. They don't have happiness. They don't have people. And they have no hope. They have no hope that anything is ever going to get better than that. So Mother Teresa once said that whenever it's compared to heaven, that any of the terrible things that happen to us, famine or torture or anything else on earth, will seem no worse than the inconvenience of a crowded elevator. So heaven is what makes the things that we go through in this life worthwhile. That's the hope that we have to look forward to, no matter what our life is like here on earth. Some of us live comfortably and some of us don't. But when we all arrive in the promised land, it's not going to matter, because we're all going to enjoy it there. The sicknesses that we have will be gone. The pain in the joints that we have will be gone. All those things will disappear and they'll just be a dim memory. But we will be able to be with God. We will be able to experience Him firsthand. The love that we just saw sometimes in our lives here, but that we recognized in our lives here, we'll be able to see all the time there. So Jesus made the sacrifice for us. He came down, He gave up the life in heaven that He enjoyed, and came down to earth to endure the things that we endure, so that we don't have a Savior that doesn't know what it's like here. Because that's usually what we would think. You don't know what it's like. Whenever we talk to somebody about how bad their life is, you just don't know what it's like to be me. But Jesus does. He lived the life. He was homeless much of the time. He depended on the kindness of strangers often. Probably didn't know where the next meal was coming from, but he knew it was going to happen. He trusted in the Lord to provide, and the Lord does provide. And I think we can be a lot happier if we can learn to live like that and to realize the Lord is going to provide. 2 Corinthians 4:15 said, "All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God." So let's remember during this holiday season what we have to be thankful for. Not just the things, although we have many things to be thankful for. Things our ancestors didn't have, things the rest of the world often doesn't have. We have those things, but we need to be thankful for more than that. We can be thankful for the love that we have of family and friends, but more than that, we need to be thankful that we have a God who knows what it feels like to be human and that did something about it, that provided for us to be able to spend an eternity with Him in heaven one day. So, if you've made that decision, but you realize that you haven't been living your life the way that you should be, that you haven't shown the gratitude toward God that He deserves for having blessed us in so many ways, you have an opportunity this morning to come forward during the song that will be led for us and to receive the prayers of the congregation if you need to repent of sin, or if you have something that you need to just express your gratitude to God for. You have that opportunity to share that with the congregation. If you haven't yet made the decision to follow Christ, then you don't have that hope of eternal life with God. And you've got a chance to fix that problem this morning as well. You have an opportunity this morning to come forward, to place your trust in Jesus as the Son of God, and to live a life full of the blessings that God can provide. You can, and the first of which is forgiveness of your sins. If you're willing to repent of the sins that you've committed, if you're willing to make a change in your life, then you can be baptized in the cleansing water that, by allowing contact with the blood of Christ, can wash away your sins. And you can live a life as a child of God this morning. So whatever your need is, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.